I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome back to Radio Times. There are so many ways to enjoy pizza.
I've never seen anyone eat pizza like that.
Oh, you gotta try it. This way the pepperoni stay intact till they reach your stomach. Then, bam!
Oh, man, that's harder to swallow than evolution.
You've gotta roll it from the point. Here, let me show you.
Not bad.
Now let it unfurl in your stomach.
Oh!
That's Homer Simpson enjoying rolled pizza with his neighbor Ned Flanders. Pizza is one of the most popular foods in the United States, and why not? Who can resist a traditional tomato pie or a trendy one with special sauces and unusual toppings? So today, everything you always wanted to know about pizza. We'll get a short history, we'll look at the region's offerings, and we'll hear how one Philadelphia pizza maker works his magic. And we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Joe Badia is a pizza maker, owner of Pizzeria Badia in Fishtown, part of Philadelphia, and last year was named Best Pizza in America by Bon Appetit. He's currently working on a cookbook about making pizza at home. And Joe, congratulations, and nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hello.
Danya Henninger knows all about regional variations, trends, local pizza as well. She's a food and beer writer, culture editor at BillyPenn.com. And Danya, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. What do you look for in your pizza? You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. So, Joe, let me put a couple of questions to you. You were a brewer before you became a pizza maker. What was that evolution, to use Ned Flanders' word there?
I started out brewing at Stout's in Lancaster County. I brewed beer, I guess, for close to 7 years professionally. And I think at a certain point I got a little bit bored. I was working at kind of a larger brewery, less creativity, and I just wanted a lifestyle change. And I think I went into restaurants, and then through that I developed a pretty serious hobby in pizza. And then that just sort of took off into where we are now.
Was there and we will talk about that. Was there a pizza experience that you had that where you said, I want to do this?
Yeah, there were a few. There was a gentleman in New York City, Anthony Mangieri. I remember having his pizza pretty early on at Una Pizza Napolitana. And it was just special. It was like, you go to these little shops and one person was responsible for making all the pizza. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I could see myself doing this.
And that is literally what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the one guy making pizza about 40 pizzas a day?
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah.
And you make them all by hand?
Yep. One at a time.
So let's start with the proof process. I mean, walk us quickly through that process of making pizza dough, which I assume is that the most critical part of a pizza?
I think so. I think it's like, I'd say, it's 99%, using really good flour. We use an organic flour from Utah Central Milling.
How'd you find the flour?
Experimenting and, tasting different flours. And then I think it's a long process. About 36 hours is what I found to work well. You really want to give the dough time to develops flavor, but that takes time. You can't really cheat it. So
is that called proofing?
Yeah. And it's a fermentation. Start on like a Tuesday morning. And I'll do like a bulk fermentation. And then when I come in Wednesday morning, when we're open, I'll take that out of the fridge and I'll weigh it and shape it into the pizza balls. And then that gets another fermentation, like a secondary fermentation, until that night. So somewhere around 36 hours, yeah.
Let me turn to you, Danya. Just how important is crust? I mean, there's the thin crust crowd, the thick crust, and many in between.
Crust is probably the most important. I agree with Joe on that. But 99%, That's a lot. I mean, I think there are a lot of other factors. Like, I've had places that put so much effort into their dough, and we source a flour here, and we cook, we let it proof this way and that way, and then their pizza's still not good. It can be ruined.
I mean, it depends what you're putting on it, obviously.
And then how you treat it afterwards. So I guess the cooking process in general, I mean, were you including that in the dough?
Yeah, I think so.
Because we have a little controversy going here. Are you a thin dough, thick? I mean, how do you like your crust?
Oh, my goodness. I like all types of pizza. I like the thick tomato pie from the bakeries here sort of pizza. I love Neapolitan pizza, super thin crust. I mean, I grew up with New York-style pizza, like, which is kind of in between crust, you know, folded, the kind that the slice that you fold.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Like Louis C.K. and then tossing it in the trash.
And not with a fork and knife. No, although Neapolitan pizza, you do eat with a fork and a knife sometimes.
So you've got your dough.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
When it's finished fermenting, it's ready to go at a certain point. And then from there, I mean, we just bake it in a really hot deck oven, a gas deck oven, which is pretty traditional, and about 600 degrees for about 10 minutes. And it's well – I just cook them well done. Mm. So they're, have some color. They're crispy. It's the kind of pizza where you hold up and it's sturdy. It doesn't flop over.
Gotcha.
So that's just kind of how I just like that for myself. And then that's what we do. Yeah.
Not wood fired.
No. I mean, wood fired's great, and I mean, you can get a little bit of like nuance from the smoke, in the flavor. But for me, it's about the dough. So it doesn't – like you could have a beautiful, oven made in Naples and still not – if the dough doesn't have flavor, then it almost doesn't matter. So I think the oven is less important and the dough is more important. So like back to the 99% thing, it's like –
sure.
it's more about like if you're taking the time to do this really nice dough, chances are you're going to – source good tomatoes and then make a nice sauce, because you're not going to like let it out. So 99% is kind of like not, it's, I don't know. I just think the emphasis is on the dough, and then everything else, it's
so
like,
if you got good dough, you're probably thinking good ingredients.
Yeah,
and toppings.
Yeah, you'd hope so. But yeah, which isn't always the case. But
no,
right.
Of course not. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's become trendy now. Like there's now the Neapolitan style pizza has become a trendy thing in the past decade here. There are even these chains that, like, we source 00 flour, and they say they put all this effort into the dough, but then the end product ends up being not great. If I just said they're not great, I shouldn't call any of them out. But there are lots of, like, Chipotle-style pizza chains now that do the wood-fired oven thing, and they put all the effort into the dough, and still the end product is not that great.
Is there something unique about the pizza made in this region of America, do you think, Donya?
People say it's the water, the same as the bagels. I mean, I don't know if I believe that or not.
I mean, where I live in my little town, I think there are half a dozen pizza places. I mean, and individual. I mean, there's the fast food ones, of course, but there are also individual people that are making pizzas. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it.
There are so many pizzerias, like neighborhood pizzerias, that are totally decent. So it's maybe that what I think the difference is for places like Joe's is that each pie gets attention, and it's same in the Neapolitan pizzeria, like restaurants, each pie gets attention. Whereas in those pizza places that also serve cheesesteaks and salad, they might have a good base recipe, but they don't have the time to pay attention to each pie.
What kind of toppings do you like to do, Joe?
Just try and source the best stuff that we can get. For instance, I make my own sausage from this local butcher up the street, Kensington Quarters. They buy really nice pork from Lancaster County, and so I get their pork and I make sausage out of it. Just everything trying to be, just trying to buy the right stuff, which makes my job a lot easier, because if everything already tastes great in its own right, then you do less to it, and I'm really kind of about simplicity when it comes to pizza. Like my favorite pizza is just the plain pizza,
margarita. It's a simple
That, and then something with like one topping, so you can really let the roasted onions shine or really nice anchovies or whatever that may be.
I mean, it is possible, Dania, to go completely bonkers with all the toppings you can put on a pizza. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but...
It is, and I wanted to ask, I mean, what's your – that angry pizza, right? The arrabbiata pizza, does that have a bunch of stuff on it? I've heard such great things. It's spicy.
I'm surprised that it's gotten a lot of attention. Craig LeMann wrote about it early on, and it's a little bit aggressive. It's just something I like. You know, I like really spicy things, and so it's like the sauce is lots of garlic and – some Thai chilies, which are very spicy.
Yeah.
And then regular, tomato sauce, mozzarella pizza. And then I finish it with these serranos that I pickle. So it's a pretty spicy pizza. And I'm just surprised when certain people order it because I'm always somebody's not going to like this.
It's just going to be too much
for them. It's not like crazy, but if you like spicy, it works, I think.
You like spicy?
Oh, I love spicy. I mean, and I think a lot of people in this region do like spicy, even if it's not like the Asian food, but like because there's the pizzazz, the South Philly, or who knows? No one exactly knows where it started, but there's a version of pizza called pizzazz, which is borderline pizza. I mean, it's made with American cheese and tomatoes, whole tomatoes and banana peppers. But those peppers end up being pretty hot, like the kind of peppers you would put on a hoagie or something like that. And that's really popular in South Philly.
Joe, what's your day? When on a day you're making pizzas, what's your day like?
I try and get in around 9 to get the dough going for the next day. And then once that dough's made, I'll take the previous day's dough out and, weigh it and shape that, which takes a couple hours total. Yeah,
both to get the stretchy? I mean, just to...
Well, no, I mean, I'm just... You know, I have a big bin of dough. I put it on a floured counter, and then I cut it, weigh it, shape it, you know, do that 40 times. And, from there, then I get into, making tomato sauce every day. We grate our own cheese, prep stuff. Right. So I do that until about 2:30. Then I take a little break. I go home, have some lunch, take a shower, and then back in at 4:30. And I'm there from 4:30 till probably about 11:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you do about 40 a day.
I do 40 a day. And that's Wednesday through Saturday. Yeah.
I have a question. I heard from some pizza makers that tossing the pizza is just kind of for show. Do you ever?
Absolutely, yeah.
You don't need to do that.
No, it's kind of it's kind of ridiculous.
Darn.
Yeah. Some people get off on that, I guess. Yeah. I just focus on actually making the pizza.
But you do have to obviously
stretch it. Generally, the dough is ready to go, so I kind of just let it fall over my hands with gravity.
Hmm. Well, we are talking pizza in this hour of Radio Times, taking a break from all the news that we've been covering in the last couple of months. That's Joe Badia. He's a pizza maker, owner of Pizzeria Badia, which is in Fishtown here in Philadelphia. Also with us, Dania Henninger, and she's a food and beer writer, a culture critic at BillyPenn.com. 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moskowain talking about pizza with Joe Badia and with Dania Henninger. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Bunch of comments here as well. Radio Times at WHYY.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. So how much did being named Best Pizza in America by Bon Appetit last year, Joe, how much did that change your life?
I would say a pretty great deal. We've certainly been a lot busier because of it. The Saturday before the article came out, I think we had eight pizzas left over. So 30 we sold 32 out of the 40 pizzas.
Right.
And even the last January, there were nights where we would sell 20 pizzas. So now I don't know how many weeks in a row it went, like 26 or something crazy, where we sold out every night.
Wow.
And there was a pretty significant line outside. So it's changed quite a bit. It's great, but it's also kind of exhausting.
Sure, it's a you're always having to sort of tend parts of the process.
Yeah,
right?
It just makes the prep time, you know, a little more limited, I guess, because you're really prepping for everything every day. Where before you had a little more time, but.
Dania, as anyone who lives here knows that this is such a foodie town, I'm assuming a pizza foodie town as well. I mean, you can go to Joe's Place, but there are lots of other places as well, or incorporated in parts of restaurants.
It's true. It's really changed from, I would say, 15 years ago. It's completely different. 15 years ago, you would be laughed at for saying, oh, Philadelphia, there's great pizza there. Now, I mean, Joe's accolades have brought it to the fore, but there's tons of great pizza in Philadelphia now. And it's not just still the old school, like you have Tacanelli's in Port Richmond, one guy, doing pizzas in a big brick oven.
Yeah.
But then you have a profusion of all these Neapolitan pizza places, the Pizzeria Vetri and Osteria. You have Brigantessa down in South Philly. Those are the new school places. And then you still have classic pizza like Joe's, but you also have like Pizza Brain, which has the world's first pizza museum. It's up in Kensington.
Oh, I heard about that.
And they have actually pretty good pizza. Yeah. I don't know if you've had their pizza, Joe, but like I like their pizza.
Well, we know you like spicy pizza. I mean, what do you look for then in pizza?
Oh, in general, I mean, I wouldn't choose to have spicy pizza necessarily. I mean, what do you look for? Flavorful crust. Absolutely. Because, I mean, when the crust is flavorful, my favorite part of the pizza is the crust. And just like little bits of cheese that have dropped on the plate, like scooping them up. That's the best. But also a sauce I don't like it to be too sweet. Got to be a little tangy. And then cheese that doesn't harden or congeal. You know, it should be, you know, that
nice stringy.
Stringy.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of cheese do you use, Joe?
I use a mozzarella from Union, New Jersey, called Leone. They've been a family company, been making mozzarella for a long time. Huh. And I use two kinds of mozzarella cheeses, fresh mozzarella, and then I use a low moisture, another whole milk, which is more of a basic, you know, like shredded mozzarella, what you'd call it. But low moisture, whole milk mozzarella, and then a fresh whole milk mozzarella.
Is there pizza lingo we should know? I was reading about leoparding.
Yeah, I mean, that's like
that's
real. If you really want to geek out, I guess,
yeah,
which
well,
I,
can geek
I
out.
where I started, but I don't really get in. Yeah, it's just that's just like sort of how the color, you know, the pizza is colored by the cooking process. So, yeah, I mean, you can get
spots,
into that,
right?
Or you can say, you know, another thing is when they say upskirt, which they're actually looking underneath to check out what's happening underneath a pizza, how it's been cooking. That's another popular term. Back to the pizzas, like my favorite pizza lately has been this woman, Stephanie, has a pizzeria in Old City, very close to here, Capofido. And I think her dough that's my favorite of the Neapolitans. It just, she does a natural fermentation and it has so much flavor.
And her pizzas are they're always ugly, almost. They're misshapen. Like, she doesn't care so much about how they look. She cares all about how they taste.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Let me get Robert from, looks like, Wildwood Crest, New Jersey, to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Robert. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning. You're on the air.
You were talking you were talking about the Pizzazz Pizza?
Yes.
And I was surprised because I'm the one who created it.
You are?
About 45 years ago.
How'd you do that?
Because I don't like fresh tomatoes. I can't eat I can only eat tomatoes fresh, not tomato sauce. So I made my pizza different. I put sliced tomatoes on it, and I used square cheese, and I cooked it that way. And it was just for me, because no one else cared for it. No one ever even thought about eating it that way.
So did you have a pizza shop yourself, Robert?
Yeah, it's Silver's Pizza. It's still there. It's only 54 years old.
I have to say that Dania's nodding her head.
Well, this is very exciting. I mean, in the research, I've been to Celebrate's, but I've also been to, like, the folks at Cash's say that they also invented it. And I've run into several people who say they invented it. But
a long line of inventors here, Robert.
But I believe you. I mean, you know, how did it spread, do you think?
Yeah, I'm curious.
It spread just by word of mouth and customers. You know, customers would come in and we would suggest it. then once it's rotted, there's a hook on it.
Well, Robert,
it's really different.
And it sounds terrific. I really appreciate the call to Radio Times. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hungry now. Let me get to Howard from, looks like Jenkintown to join us. Hi, Howard. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I just want to make a couple comments. One, I've been to Pizzeria Bedita, like when he first opened, and I loved it. And Joe, you actually sent me to DeFaro's.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite pizzas I've ever had.
And I got to tell you, yours was better. He put a little too much olive oil on it, and it just turned out a little too greasy.
Yeah, they're pretty wet pizzas. I do a little bit less. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been
Thank
to
you.
Pizza Brain. I think it's. I've also been to Pizza Brain. I think it's great. I think Gennaro's also is good.
Yeah, they do a great job.
I hate to say it. My favorite pizza
Go ahead.
Right now of all time is actually Di Lorenzo's in Robbinsville, New Jersey. It's just outside the city.
We don't know that place.
No, that's
Joe does.
That's like one of the old standbys. I mean, they're famous for the Trenton style.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Which they call tomato pie, right?
I guess.
Howard, thanks for
that's
the call.
Really
sure, no, thanks no for problem. The call to Radio Times. Let me just reintroduce everyone, and we've got a guest that's joining our conversation. Yes, we are talking about pizza in this hour of the show, and our guests are Joe Bedia. He's a pizza maker, owner of Pizzeria Bedia, which is in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia. Last year, Bon Appetit named his pizza the best in America. He's currently working on a cookbook about making pizza at home, and I do want to talk about that. Donya Henninger, a food and beer writer, culture editor at BillyPenn.com. And joining us now is Carol Helstosky, and she's associate professor of history at the University of Denver, wrote a book called Pizza, A Global History, and she's joining us from Florida. And Carol, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Why did you want to write a book about pizza?
I was actually asked to write a book about the globalization of pizza by the Action Press, who had come up with this concept of writing books called Food, A Global History. And so their initial launch was to take the food pizza. They also launched a book on the hamburger and one on pancake. And I believe now there are dozens and dozens of these global histories. Previously, I'm actually a historian of modern Italy, and I had published a book called Garlic and Oil, which was about food politics in modern Italy.
So how far back do we have to go to find the first pizza ever made?
That depends on who you ask, and I want to be really clear on this. But when I started to research the history of pizza, I found there are a lot of really significant myths that people live by when it comes to the history of pizza. So some pizza fans go back to, say, ancient Greece, where people cooked a kind of lightly leavened bread on hot rocks. Most folks go back to Naples in about the 17th or 18th century, where there were a series of pizzerias and also pizza vendors. Who sold various pizzas mostly to workers, sailors and soldiers and other members of the working and lower classes in Naples. It was a strictly Neapolitan dish.
And is that where you think it was Italy rather than Greece?
I do believe it was Italy rather than Greece. I have a more conservative definition of pizza, which is that it has to be a round crust that is baked in a very hot oven, and it needs at least some toppings. I guess you can have white pizza. The traditional pizza is tomatoes and then some form of cheese. And the tomatoes, cheese, and crust all make a certain feeling or flavor in your mouth. And so that's the definition that I work with when I'm trying to prepare pizza because I have page restrictions.
Well, and we have apparently the country's best pizza maker sitting here. Is that your definition of pizza, Joe? Does it have to be round? Do you care?
I mean, I wouldn't say it has to be round. I mean, there's some great pizza. What a gentleman mentioned earlier, DeFara, they do a square pizza that's in a pan that's like amazing. So I mean, that in a way, it's the sauce and the dough and the cheese. I'd say that's probably a pizza.
That's a pizza. Is that a pizza for you, Danya?
Definitely. I love square pizza. There are many square pizzas that are great, but I guess when you think of pizza in your mind, you're going to think of the circle.
I've also had some of the best pizza I've ever had was without cheese, which they in Naples would call a marinara, which is tomato sauce, oregano, and garlic. And that's pretty amazing in its own.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. Carol, let me go back to you. So jumping ahead to this country, how do pizzas come to America?
They came with Italian immigrants, many of whom were coming from Naples or southern Italy. They basically replicated the sale of pizzas from Italy mostly to the Northeast. There were Italian Americans all across the country, but there are very few written records of existing pizzerias outside of the Northeast. We do know that by the 1880s, 1890s, when more and more Italians were emigrating to the United States, there were sales of pizza mostly from what you call mobile vendors or carts. People set up the first storefront pizzerias in New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut. That's the so-called pizza belt around the turn of the century. And again, we don't have a lot of written records. It's what the pizzerias say. When they were founded and where they were founded and what they produced. We have a few records of, for example, pizzeria vending licenses. So we do know that the trend among Italian Americans started around the turn of the century. I believe, though, that pizza was consumed mostly by southern Italian immigrants in these mostly Italian-American communities. The general non-Italian-American population had very little exposure to pizza until after World War II.
Right, until they went to war, I guess, and came home and wanted their pizza. Let me get Ken from Manahawkin to join us. Ken, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I would like to talk a little bit more about the Trenton-style tomato pies. When I was a kid growing up in South Jersey, we'd never even seen a pizza pie. We'd never heard of a pizza pie. And then suddenly one day a local bar had something called tomato pie. And that was the version of pizza that grew up around Trenton, New Jersey. Of course, the cheese is put on first and then a small amount of sauce. And it's always very thin, very crisp. A tomato pie pizza will never bend when you hold it. It stands straight up. And the previous caller mentioned DiLorenzo's. Their chief competitor for all these years has been a place called Papa's, originally from Trenton, and they claim to be the oldest operating pizzeria in America.
Oh, wow.
On my days off, I tend to drive around the Trenton area looking for different tomato pies because I'm fascinated by regional foods. I think tomato pies are really slowly dying out. So it's just something I enjoy doing.
Sure.
But I'm very excited. I'm going to be coming to Fishtown real soon. And
you better get there early. I think that's
we'd love to have you.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for calling in Radio Times.
All right.
You're welcome. Danya, when he mentioned Trenton and the tomato pie, and then we'll go back to you, Carol.
Well, it's interesting that there's tomato pie in Philadelphia also, and there's tomato pie in Trenton, and they're two different things. Tomato pie in Philadelphia region on this side of the river, is no cheese ever, or maybe a little bit of sprinkle of Parmesan, but no mozzarella. Oh. Whereas in Trenton, for some reason, they call that tomato pie with a crackery crust. There is Slice Pizzeria, which has three locations or four locations in the region, I think. They do Trenton style pies here in Philly.
Interesting.
Crackery crust.
You like the tomato pie idea, Joe?
I don't have a lot of experience with the Trenton style, but I do really like the Italian bakeries around Philadelphia that do those tomato pies. I love that.
Those tomato pies are usually a much thicker crust.
Oh, sounds good. Carol, sort of marching, and then we have to say goodbye to you in about 2 minutes, but going from World War II to where we are today, and of course you've got the chains. You've got that are pretty much, I don't know, are they dominating the market? They certainly have a big piece of the market.
I think there's a perception that the chain, the franchise, is dominating the market, but research doesn't bear that out. Today, I would say probably about, industry experts estimate that about 55% of all pizzerias in the United States are locally or independently owned.
Wow.
The other 20% are small chains and franchises. Maybe there's about 10 of a certain name. And then the remaining 25% consists of the big four, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, and Little Caesars. So the interesting thing about the big chains, when they do come to a neighborhood, and both Pizza Hut and Domino's originated in the Midwest, where there weren't a lot of Italian Americans. They were not founded by Italian immigrants. When the big chains do come to a neighborhood or area, what winds up happening, it's very interesting, is they create a taste for pizza among consumers, and you begin to see a lot of independent pizzerias spring up that compete with Domino's and Pizza Hut. And frequently, they're not in all cases, Domino's and Pizza Hut don't exactly dominate the market. They don't put the small independent pizzeria pizza makers out of business.
Well, that's interesting. So the non-Walmartization of pizza. Carol, thanks so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Carol Helstosky, and she's Associate Professor of History at the University of Delaware, wrote a book called Pizza, A Global History. Joining us from Florida, staying with us for the rest of the hour. Lots of folks that want to join the conversation. Joe Badia, pizza maker, owner of Pizzeria Badia in Fishtown. And Danya Henninger, food and beer writer, culture editor at BillyPenn.com. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. I'll read a bunch of comments after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowing, talking pizza, talking about pizza, I should say, with Joe Badia and Danya Henninger. An email from Lawrence: if you were talking pizza, then you're talking Zavino on 13th, and yes, the second location on Chestnut Street on the Drexel campus. Ask Joe where he learned to make pizza.
I worked for Zavino for a couple of years. Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's where I learned how to make pizza, but yeah.
Is there a place you learned to make pizza, or you just evolved?
I mean, I think so. I didn't come from like a pizza shop environment. I came more from a home environment. So, mm-hmm. I worked at I did a 2-month stage at Osteria in Philadelphia after they opened. I worked at a pizzeria in Madison, Wisconsin, Pizza Bruta. And then I worked at Zavino for 2 years.
Oh, interesting. Facebook comment from Adriana. Pizzeria Vetri is one of the closest things you'll get to true Italian pizza. Pizzeria Stella is good, too. Facebook comment from Jill. I like Earth Bread in Mount Airy. Tacanelli's, I think you mentioned that, in Port Richmond, of course. Facebook comment from Mike. Could you ask the question? Could you ask the guests to define different types of pizza? Neo, tomato pie, et cetera. I mean, I think we covered tomato pie. I mean, Neapolitan is, what, about as basic as you can get.
It's from Naples, yeah. It's the original pizza,
but it's not what you'd make, right, Joe?
No, that's the thing. It gets into all the semantics of. I think it's more. I make what I would say, what some people would say, like New York style. I call it more of American style.
Right.
Some people will call it neo Neapolitan.
Oh, neo.
It's never ending.
And margarita.
Well, the margarita is a style. Is it just what depends what toppings you're putting on a Neapolitan pizza? But Neapolitan pizzas actually are it's a protected. Appellation of origin. Theoretically, you're not supposed to call it Neapolitan pizza unless you have approval from the AVPN, some Italian.
And the EU and all that has gotten involved in sort of what a pizza is, how big it is, what it can.
And you have to weigh a certain, each pizza dough has to weigh a certain amount, cook within 90 seconds or something.
So how do you feel about forks, Joe?
We don't have them at the pizza shop, but if I go to, one of those Capofito or, Pizza Rivetri, I would probably use a knife and a fork. For some of it.
Right. Yeah.
I hear that in Italy, you don't cut it in slices, but you just rip it up with your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why it tastes so good. Let me get Frank from, looks like Phoenixville, to join our conversation. Hi, Frank. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
My name is Frank. I'm Frank Natale. I have Vecchia Pizzeria. I have two Neapolitan pizzerias in the Delaware Valley that I own and operate. One's in Phoenixville and one is in Wayne. Huh? So if you wanted any questions about the Neapolitan pizza dough or process or fermentation, weights, I do it every single day.
That's great. Frank, I do have a question for you because I see here you have your own pizza oven that you designed yourself?
Well, actually what we did was we had two stonemasons come over here two times now from Naples. They built a couple famous ovens in the States already. Wow. Keste Pizzeria in New York City on Bleecker Street was the first one they did. And then Fratelli La Bufala is the big outfit from Naples that has a presence here in the States. They have a place in Miami, and they had a place in Manhattan, but they closed that. But he'll build those ovens. So when he left Wayne the second time he came to the States for me, he was off to Cairo, and then the following week he was going to, like, Munich. So this is, like, a pretty serious oven builder. What he'll do is he'll ship all his stone. Basically, it's tufo. It's stone that's quarried near Mount Vesuvius. He'll ship it over here. It'll come show up on pallets. I humped it inside, and he came in with his apprentice. And then they had an axe, and they just start chipping away and making these ovens.
That's amazing, Frank. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And, Joe, you talked about the oven that you use. I would think just you need a really, really hot oven, do you not, for pizza? Does that?
Yeah.
I mean just crank, if you're home, crank it up?
For his pizza, which I've actually been to, it was delicious. I've been to the Phoenixville location. But I use an oven made in the Bay Area. It's just a deck oven.
What does that mean, deck oven?
It just has a floor with a stone in it.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's gas fired. They also make them electric, and so that's what a typical American pizza is made in. Mine's a little bit modified in where there's stone on the sides and the back and the top, a little more of an even bake. And I fire my oven at 600, where the Neapolitan is like anywhere from 800 to 1,000 degrees.
Wow.
So it's just a different, different result in it's like apples and oranges. But the heat heats great, but as long as the dough's good.
As long as the dough, we're back to the dough. Danya, what's the farthest you've driven to eat a pizza?
Oh, my.
Or someone said, you got to try this pizza. Do you know?
Well, I have driven to New York to try certain pizzas, which isn't that far. To like Roberta's in Brooklyn, I heard was fantastic. And the Port Richmond in Tacanelli's, you have to reserve your dough the day before. You have to call ahead and reserve your dough. So that's a lot of effort.
Wow.
But it's worth it. I found it was worth it.
I really like going to Tacanelli's. Yeah, I just spent my 39th birthday there.
Oh,
and,
very nice.
You can have people come in.
So you went out for pizza on your birthday?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
You don't tire? I mean, it's just a silly question.
I eat them like once a month, maybe. Not that often.
Oh, man, I eat them at least once a week, maybe more.
That's why we love pizza. Let me get Vicky from, looks like Westchester. Hi, Vicky, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, hi. Marty just asked a great question, which ties into my question. Joe, I'm from Westchester, so it would take me an hour to get to your place, and I want to go and I want to try your pizza. Give me advice, because I don't want to drive there and see that there's a line and not be able to get your yummy pizza.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit...
There are no guarantees in life, Vicky, just so you know. No, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, right.
We're open Wednesday through Saturday. Wednesdays and Thursdays are generally the best days to come. For instance, this past Friday and Saturday, there were probably 25 to 30 people waiting outside before we opened. So a lot of those.
What time should I try to get there at 4, or should I get there? I want the playbook. I want to know.
If you got there at 4:30, you would definitely get a pizza.
On a Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, I mean Wednesday or Thursday.
You're telling all of Delaware Valley, but that's okay, Joe.
I would say if on Wednesday or Thursday, you probably get there at 5 o'clock, or you could come at 9:30. If you're a later person.
No, I'm an early person.
Okay, so the first person gets a pizza. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just know I'm going to have limited time. So I get there. Can I sit and eat my pizza?
We're actually zoned. We don't have seating, but we do have two standing tables that you're welcome to eat at, and you can bring some wine or beer or something if you like. But 5 o'clock, generally on a you know a Wednesday or Thursday, you'd get a pizza sooner than later, or even you know somewhere around there. I hate to tell you to wait because you know it's just kind of a pain. But
sure.
That's kind of what's happening right now.
Well, Vicky, make sure you leave a gigantic tip because you've discussed from the chef himself. No, I appreciate that.
This is also great advertising. Tanya, really quick, I'm so sorry. I like exactly the same type of pizza that you like. Do you have anything in the Westchester area that you would recommend?
Do you know something in the West? Gosh.
Well, you know what, Vicky? Go experiment. Go try, shop around, eat around, and see what
Marty,
you come up with.
I'm using your resources because I love your show.
Well, but Vicky, I'm going to say goodbye to you because only we got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. Tanya, is there a place you could recommend?
In Westchester, you know, there are so many places in the city, so I can't. In my mind right now, come up with a place in Westchester. I'm sure I do know places, but I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Let me get Daniel from Flower Town to join us. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead. You're on Radio
Hello,
Times.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was in a program for small business owners.
Yep.
And Goldman Sachs, 10,000 small businesses, and we spent, probably about 40 of us, spent about an hour discussing Joe's business model.
Oh.
And is it a good business model? If he made 60 pizzas, would he make a little bit more money? And I think the point of the motivation of the exercise was to determine how do we judge our own success. And the question I have for Joe is, why did you choose this business model? Are you considering getting help at any point in trying to make 50, 60 a day? And I'll just take the answer.
Daniel, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Joe, do you even think of this as a business model?
I think I was really inspired by people making pizzas, you know, where the owner was making all the pizzas. So that was the start. And then I think it's both a physical thing and a financial thing. It's like 40 pizzas is kind of where we need to be financially. It's also what I'm comfortable in, you know, putting out physically. I could do 50 pizzas. I could do 60 pizzas, but I'm looking at it more.
You probably
of a,
have to hire somebody. Would
well,
you not?
I'm just looking at it more of a marathon and less of a race. So I you know, it's if I'm going to do 40 pizzas every day, you know, it takes its toll. So I'm interested in expanding and doing other things, but I'm not sure exactly what that will be.
Yeah. Daniel, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. An email from Doug. He says, I'm a 68-year-old combat veteran who fought and bled for my freedom to eat pizza with a fork. Why am I so reviled? I mean, there is this whole fork, non-fork thing, right, Tanya?
Oh, there is. I mean, ask the mayor of New York.
Exactly.
you know, to me, part of the wonderful thing about pizza is that you can eat it with your hands. They're, you know, same with a lot of other American foods, you know, burgers, all sandwiches. It's easy. You can grab and go. You don't need a plate. You don't need to be sitting down. You eat pizza while you walk. Like that's sometimes the best pizzas. You'd grab a slice as you're walking. Fork and knife is valid, though. I don't think anyone should be reviled.
I don't either. And dollar pizza, too. I mean, I certainly remember on Market Street, this is like before probably both of you were born, but you could get, you know, some sliced pizza. It was 99 cents or a dollar, and that was a pretty good meal.
And actually, there's one place that we should mention. It's called Rosa's Fresh Pizza, and its slices are a dollar. The pizza is very decent, but the idea is you could pay a dollar forward for somebody in need, a homeless person or somebody who can't afford it. So there's all these post-its up on the wall. Somebody can come in who's hungry and get pizza.
Nice. Let me get Raphael from the Graduate Hospital area. Raphael, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks so much.
Sure.
A quick question. I was wondering if the guests had any advice for people who like to do it yourself at home. You know, whether we should be making our own dough or buy that pre-made dough from Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and, you know, what kind of ingredients we should be looking for, and how to set my oven, and you know, just any advice for the do-it-yourselfer, and I'll take my call off the air.
Raphael, thanks for the call to Radio Times. This is your book, is it not,
well,
Joe?
Well, that's what I'm working on. I mean, I came from a sort of a home environment, so experimented with a lot of different
meaning
things.
Meaning you ate at home or you cooked at home?
Yeah, I made a lot of pizza at home. I, you know, had pizza stones. I would go to Home Depot and get quarry tile or like terracotta tiles and bake on those. I mean, just like everything to try and replicate a, you know, brick oven. But yeah, I mean, I'm working on that right now. I did a bunch of pizzas at home yesterday. I think the keys are, I mean, I make the dough, obviously. Really nice long fermentation, using good flour, making sure your oven is as hot as possible. So generally 500 is as hot as it'll go. Mine happens to go to 550. So whatever the hottest. And you want to have a stone or a steel or like those terracotta tiles in your oven.
Oh, really?
For at least an hour on high, so they absorb the heat, so you'll get a crispy crust. I mean, those are the basic, you know, like you need to follow that at least to get something that's going to be delicious.
Wow. Do you make pizza at home or, I mean?
Oh, absolutely. We actually leave our pizza stone in the oven because it's useful for a lot of other kind of cooking too, because it retains heat. So it makes it so that if you want to check the oven or open it, you know, it's just it makes for more even cooking.
So when you're in your pizza shop, is there a favorite time of day for you? I mean, is it before the crush of people?
Yeah.
Instead of calm before the storm, perhaps?
Well, I get in around 9 or 9:30, and that's my favorite time. With just working with the dough, it's kind of meditative. I always have the Howard Stern show on, so it's like this kind
you got
of
good company there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's really really wonderful. I actually look forward to it. So, yeah, that's great.
That's great. And yeah, you want to say something, Donnie?
Well, how do you feel about pizza for breakfast? I mean, pizza for breakfast is one of my favorite things. Cold pizza,
as long as it's cold, I'm okay with it. Yeah, anytime I think is pizza's okay.
And as far your hands are pretty large. I mean, is it hard to stretch the dough out?
I think that's a thing that people see and they're like, well, I can't get it to do this at home. It's really because the dough has to be relaxed and well fermented, because it's very easy if it's right. But if it's tight, then it just needs more time. So you know, you want to manage the dough to where it's ready to open up relatively easily. Yeah.
Well, we're going to end on that note because we are out of time. My thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Joe Badia, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And he's pizza maker, owner of Pizzeria Badia in Fishtown, named Best Pizza in America by Bon Appetit last year, 2015, working on a cookbook about making pizza at home. Donya Henninger, thank you very much as well.
Thanks, Marty. Going to go have some pizza for lunch.
Absolutely. And she's food and beer writer, also culture editor at BillyPenn.com. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, probably carry on this conversation. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, John Ahrens, and Liz Fiedler. I'm Marty Moscone, and we want to close things out with a little bit of music for you. This is Dean Martin singing his 1952 hit, That's Amore.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and a